Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to CIB. Chad, can you hear me? We've got three microphones, so if you're at any point having a hard time hearing, just holler and we can use the microphones. The problem is we got to pass it around, and you know, inevitably people say things without it, and then you're not used to listening to the quiet voice, and so you don't hear it. Anyway, so we'll give it a try. Again, good morning, Keith Eaton. I have the good fortune of chairing the CIB. Appreciate you all being here. Hopefully it wasn't too much of a burden. The weather was certainly accommodating, and the scenery is breathtaking. So if you're like me, you need to catch your breath for a minute. I understand. So without further ado, our custom is to have a briefing by our fund manager, Candace Powers. So Candace, take it away.
I'm going to use the microphone. Yay. And speak to myself. This is the first review meeting of the second trimester. CIB runs on a trimester basis. So this is the first review meeting of the second trimester. There are six new projects to be discussed at today's meeting. The financial sheet for the board is up on the screen, and then you can also look at it in Granicus. Those are the six projects that we will be discussing, and it will move down to the balances. I try and clarify each meeting what you're looking at here, because the board needs to understand what they're dealing with. This is the fund balances. If you fund everything that has been submitted for the October 1st application deadline as requested, as you can see, the board can't do that. So there will be some movements to make. That shows that in February, the only revenues we had were the revenues you see, and we funded everything as requested, we wouldn't have enough funding. You can tell that there is plenty of funding to loan. So there's going to have to be some movement, and if the board would pay attention to that, then you can make the necessary adjustments. It should be noted that most of the applications did come in asking for all grants, so some of it should be pretty easy to move, and we should be all right. We have three projects coming in January, so we will discuss that major infrastructure set-aside balance. There were three applications that were submitted on the major application in infrastructure. Easy for you to say, not for me. It's a different application because it exceeds the $5 million mark, but the board can fund that from bonus funds or wherever the funding is available. The major infrastructure set-aside fund is all mineral lease, so there is not a restriction on how it goes out as far as loan or grant. The bonus is restricted. It has to go out at a percentage rate, interest-bearing loan. And with that, let's see, the board should pursue reasonable funding. This is my talking point. Authorization for both the applicant and the fund to keep the fund revolving, because that's in statute. That is what the board is tasked to do. The mineral lease funds are available only for public entities, for public projects, and as an editorial note, the CIB's key purpose is to ensure the fund keeps revolving by collectively directing the fund authorization while meeting the appropriate interests of the applicants and relevant entities. Sounds very intelligent, doesn't it? But it's what the board is tasked to do. So I don't want any applicant to feel badly because they don't get what they asked for, but the board is tasked with judiciously looking at what you need, what you can afford, and how it can go out with the available funds. And with that, I will turn the time back over to the chair, who won't speak in the microphone.
I can. If there's an outpouring from everyone, I can do that. Treasurer.
Question. Candace, is there a relationship between what is recommended through the tool and the avoiding the red balance on the projections?
There is no correlation between those two. There has been extra some additional information that will be provided to the board. Is it now? Financials. We want Paul to talk about, in regard to that finance, to what the tool offers and what the board has authorized. It won't necessarily have a direct it won't directly refer to the red balance, but the board should note that what their decisions have done. And so I will turn the time over to Paul to kind of explain historically, using the funding tool and given the guidance of the funding tool, what the board chose to authorize.
So Paul, are you ready for that now?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get it to show on that screen in any reasonable way. Well, okay.
Microphone.
You going into the microphone? I'm kind of loud. Okay, better. All right, if you can see this, this is from last trimester. So again, starting in July, with funding ending in October. Here's the ranges. This is organized by project type. So here, I mean, you can't see any of this. This is way too small on the projector there. But these are all the water projects here, culinary water, emergency vehicles, fire stations, anyway. But so the blue bars are that sandbox, that range that the tool produces. And then these red little diamonds are what was requested by the applicant. And if you can see, which you probably can't see much of, these green dots are what the board had approved for funding. So you can get an idea of the relationship between all those in some way. I think that's 60%. Let's try that. Any better? Not really.
Yeah, a little better.
A little better. Yeah. Sorry.
So in general, Paul, red is bad and green is...
No, green is what they asked.
No, green is what they asked for. Red is what they asked for, green is what was approved. And blue is the range. On a whole, the board approved $25 million roughly in loan. And to your question, Treasurer Rose, if the board had gone with the tool on the low end, it would have been $23 million in loan. At the median range, it was $26.6 million, and at the high, was $29.4 million. So what the board approved is roughly between the low and the medium level of the tool. And that's at a macro level, though, obviously not any individual.
Can I speak?
Mm-hmm.
Just to inform those listening who haven't been in the weeds with this, the board was tasked through a 2020 legislative audit to show more consistency in how they fund projects. So they did Paul Moberly created a funding tool for the board to approve. They've approved the criteria that it will be weighted by, and then there's that blue sandbox area that if they are to show consistency for these funding authorizations, they would be within the sandbox. The board is also tasked with understanding what the applicant can and cannot do. So when they go outside the consistency, the board will cite an exemption, but we're trying to stay within the compliance of a legislative audit. So here we are. So, you know, those Santa Claus does arise sometimes. Most of the time we're trying to be consistent and fair to the applicants, keeping in mind that the board is tasked with their judiciousness, we will say. to keep the fund revolving and to stay consistent. So they try. So just so you understand what we're discussing here, because you're out of your wonder.
So just to understand this, is this just the loan portion?
Yeah. Yes, this is the ranges on loan and the percentages of loan.
Okay.
Yeah, all the percentages of the total project ask.
So in that third right there where you're, so we have that one there, the request for was for a smaller amount of loan. We gave them more of a loan.
Yeah,
in that case, right?
That one was 25% requested on the loan. Board approved 34%, and the range was, what is it, 34 to, I keeps moving around. About 54%.
Okay, yeah.
And along those lines, I'd just like to point out to the board, if you look at today's agenda, all of the projects are in red ink, meaning that the request is below the tool range. So the request that the applicants are making, every single one of them, is lower than what the tool recommends as far as the amount of loan. So again, if we just approved as requested, every single project would need an exemption because it was outside of the tool range. So I just encourage the board to look at that. Our objective should try to be within the tool range. Again, there are obviously exemptions, and that's why we have a board. But I think we've got some work to do with each and every one of these projects. And as applicants, I urge you to look at that as well and be prepared to discuss with the board, not negotiate with the board. We're not here to negotiate with you. We're here to become educated as to why your project might require an exemption outside of what the tool is recommending. So hopefully that's clear to everyone. Paul, did you have anything else that you wanted to go over? Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. All right, so with that groundwork laid, I think it would be appropriate to introduce the board members. So maybe if we could pass the microphone down to Commissioner Adams, we'll start with you on that end of the table. Just do a quick introduction. Appreciate it.
Be careful giving me a microphone.
Amen. Same, Bruce.
You may not get what you want.
Or get more than you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Just don't sing.
My name is Bruce Adams. I live in Monticello, Utah. I'm a San Juan County Commissioner, and I'm so glad to have the board so close to San Juan County, we can see them from Monticello.
We must have 2020 every time. Good morning. My name is Nagi Zanati. I'm bringing warm greetings from Washington County Commissioners, Mayors, City Managers, and Public Works Directors, Mr. Chairman, for all the good work that this board and the staff has done. In the spirit of the Thanksgiving, I'd like to also give my thank to you, as a major staff, and this board to give me the opportunity to serve this class. Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to be in Moab, a little warmer than where we're I'm at. So, my name is Dean Baker. I'm the mayor of Naples City, and I represent UNA County.
I'm Marlo Oaks, the state treasurer, and happy to be here from the Capitol. And it was a pleasure to spend some time with Commissioner Adams last night over dinner, and I was very proud of his dinner choice of tofu turkey, which he apparently is going to be having for Thanksgiving this year, isn't that right?
My name is Aaron Wade. I'm the Assistant Attorney General representing the board.
Wade Nielsen. Happy to be here. I'll say it also this. I continue to be in awe of what can happen here of what does happen here. And I represent Mayor of Nephi for a while, and then Six County Association of Governments. And thank you all. I'm mindful of the work that you all do, and I'm appreciative of that. So.
Good morning. I'm Commissioner Tudor Ogden, and I represent Sevier County.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jerry Taylor. I'm from Escalante, Garfield County, Utah, and I represent Fife County AOT.
Good morning. I'm Kyle Stevens. I represent the Board of Water Resources on the Community Impact Board, and I hope Commissioner Adams doesn't invite me down for Thanksgiving dinner because I wouldn't want to have tofu chicken. Or turkey. And turkey.
Thank you, board members. We appreciate your service. I think Commissioner Taylor, former mayor of Escalante, is probably well suited to give the definitive answer on how you pronounce that. You know, some people say Escalante, some people say Escalante, some people say Escalante. So I'm glad we finally got that clarified. Thank you, man.
If you're from there, it's Escalante, or Escalante. And if you're not, put a tail on it.
I was raised in California, so I'll say Escalante.
and we can see San Juan County from Escalante.
We would like to excuse Commissioner Jack Lytle. He had some other obligations, wasn't able to be here with us. We excuse him. Do appreciate the service each of you provide and the kind words that were spoken about the fund. They're very true. Appreciate all of you being here. We have a lot of fire stations and fire trucks on the agenda. If you look at the audience, you'll see a lot of people that are dressed far better than we are. I urge the board to join me in ditching the ties today, not realizing that you are all going to come in your dress uniforms today. So it's a little unusual to have the applicants all dressed better than the board, but you guys look good. And if you don't quite get the funding packages you want, maybe you can hawk some of those fine duds on the internet. Just kidding, of course.
Mr. Chairman.
This is not.
This is the most intimidating meeting we've ever had. Too many chiefs. I fear for my life. If I don't agree any of those applications, I'm more worried about the fires and stuff in my community.
On the other hand, if you're going to have a medical emergency, I'm sure you've got some well-trained individuals out there that can attend to you.
Thank you. They look good.
Appreciate that. Again, today's agenda, we only have six applicants. Candace tells me that lunch for the board will be ready around 11:30. So don't feel compelled to go until 12 or 1 o'clock. We can probably have lunch at 11:30. I want to express my appreciation to the Red Cliffs Lodge ownership, and especially the manager. She's not with us this morning. She was here early getting everything ready. Those of you that know Judy Bain, she was the one who was involved in originally inviting CIB, I think, to Red Cliffs probably a dozen years ago. She treats us very well. She's retiring after many years, and I think things are changing here at Red Cliffs as well, so we may not be here in another 10 years. But for every minute that we are here, we are grateful, and I just want to personally express my appreciation to Judy for all that she did in accommodating us. We're not the easiest group, and that's not a reflection on any individual, but the fact that we're simulcasting over the internet. Welcome to all of you that are out there in the ether sphere. Our requirements for equipment and acoustics and recording and not to mention everything else is interesting. Just as for a little perspective, if you'll allow me, as Chairman's prerogative, I've been coming here for about a dozen years. And back in the beginning, we came in September. because that was the end of season. And they would stay open a week longer that first week of September to accommodate us. And then they basically closed down for the winter. And over, and Bruce is nodding because he was here. Over the years, that's kind of been pushed back. So we went to October, and now we're in November. And judging by the way things are going, even January wouldn't be the off-season around here anymore. So good for the local economy, and good for the proprietors and those who work here. But as far as accommodating CIB, it's a victim of our own success, I guess. So, but we appreciate it. It's such a beautiful place. We just enjoy it. So, if you get to sign in at the back, there was a sign-in sheet. Candace tells me that you're not able to collect any funding unless you've signed in and attended the meeting. Fair to all attend to that. So there's just one other item of business. If we could pass the microphone back down to Commissioner Adams. Again, we appreciate local elected officials for hosting us. And
along those lines, I think we have a... Yeah, Bruce, go ahead.
Okay, is it on? All right. From time to time, we fund projects throughout the state of Utah, and we get invitations to come to the grand opening of some of those projects. And once in a while, we're even in a position where we can actually do that. This afternoon at 4:00, the San Juan County Spanish Valley Clinic has a grand opening, and you're all invited to come to the grand opening.
Where is it?
That clinic. Now, as you travel through Moab and you pass the Spanish Trails Arena and eventually get to San Juan County, and the best way I can describe how to get there is you pass the White Elephants. That's the big white buildings out there, and if you get to St. Dane's Cabins, you've gone too far. So as you pass the White Elephants and get to the LeGrand Johnson Equipment and Gravel Yard, you take a left over to Spanish Valley Drive. Right there at the intersection, you'll be facing the San Juan County Spanish Valley Clinic. And they are having that grand opening. And if any board members or any of the in the audience would like to go see that new facility and attend that grand opening, the hospital administrator asked me to make sure that the board members knew that that was happening today. He knew that we were having CIP here at Red Cliffs, and asked me to extend that invitation. So. There you go.
Thank you.
You can see San Juan County from the clinic.
You missed all the monuments that you talked about. There's the big statue of the Bruce Adams running in the sun.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Appreciate that. Let's get down to business. First item is approval of minutes from October 7th. The chair will entertain a motion or corrections.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Snoddy. Thank you, Mayor Baker. Motion by Mr. Zanotti, second by Mayor Baker. All in favor of accepting the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. That passes unanimously. Our first project today is, surprise, surprise, a new fire station. This one is in the town of Sigurd. I'll let Candace do the briefing. I shouldn't steal your thunder. So, Candace, give us a briefing on this project, please.
Number one on the agenda today is the town of Sigurd. It's for a new fire station. Their request is for $1,325,000, of which there is $150,000 request for loan, 30-year at 0%, and a $1,175,000 grant. This area is in Sevier County. The median tool range would suggest a $544,000 loan, 30-year at 5.5%, and a $781,000 grant. Just a note before we proceed. The original review sheets that were on the indicated in Granicus had a glitch in the calculations. So now there is an updated, so look at the one on the screen, not in your Granicus. it better shows the median, minimum, and maximum range. This project consists of constructing a new steel fire station building to include foundation, framing, electrical, all the appurtenances. This is in an area with a population of approximately 430, with 128 households. The public hearing minutes indicate that a new fire station next to the existing one will be built, and it will have better room for equipment. I think the applicant intends on discussing what the need is for the larger fire station. The funding was discussed at the public hearing. The site of the project was not. So it will be a $159,000 indicated on the estimate prefab steel building. And there is 28,000 in the estimate for appliances. My question would be, that's a lot of appliances. The current firehouse is too small to house the fire trucks, brush trucks, and other equipment. It will have this new one, I guess, is to accommodate the larger equipment. And with that, we will give the time over to the chair and the applicant.
Thank you, Candace. Appreciate that. We'd invite the applicant to come forward at this time. Just to make sure the microphone's working.
I think they'll have to turn it off.
Brian, can we handle that much?
I don't know.
No.
Yep.
So we want you to know how much we appreciate you. It's good to be here with you. I'm Mayor Kelly Alvey, and this is our fire chief, Joe Kirkwood, and then Ryan Savage from Savage Engineering. They're the ones we've got to help us put this together. Anyway, Candace, you talked a little bit about this project. I'd just like to lay just a little groundwork for you. Like in Sigurd, we're just a little town, as you know, but we have U.S. Gypsum, which provides an income for our valley. Plus, we have Wolverine Gas and Oil, which is just up the canyon. And we probably have like 40 to 50 trucks every day coming out of USG and out of Wolverine Gas and Oil. And Wolverine, they've talked to us a time or two wondering if we would be able to take care of their needs, which we think we could if they had fire or whatever, but we have Richfield that's kind of closed. But then we also have a couple of different individuals that like to put a subdivision on both ends of our town, which could add up to 60 to 70 more homes. So we're kind of looking into the future of, if we could build this now, then we would be covered for a long time. But we have trucks that are sitting out, and so to us, this is a really big, a really neat, and it's more than just basic. It would be great for us. But like, I haven't looked at the appliances. We probably don't need that many. I would agree with that.
The reason that's so hard.
Ryan, you need to introduce yourself for the record.
What's that?
Introduce yourself for the record, please.
Ryan Savage, Associates Engineering. The reason that is so high, Candace, is we're trying to include a washer for their turnouts and a dryer for their turnouts, and they're expensive. And that's why why it's up there.
I want to touch on those appliances, and I agree with the mayor. For the record, my name is Joe Kirkwood. I'm the Sigurd's fire chief. The appliances is maybe something we can approach at a later date. The necessity for the appliances in the fire industry, there's been a lot of concern of carcinogens, cancer-causing agents, it's standard practice to launder your turnouts upon every use. So that's the why we requested the appliances. But again, that is something we can probably cut out and review at a later date. So.
Let's go to the board for questions. Commissioner Ogden.
Yes, I'm a firefighter, and I've worked with Sigurd on fires. Been in the fire service for 34 years now. But I can see a great need for this firehouse. Our outside areas are growing greatly, and it is a concern. We back Sigurd up when there's a fire up at Wolverine Oil. And we have had a couple of those situations, and it takes all of us in these rural areas to make things happen. I think it's a, you know, I know it's outside of the preview of what's on the board, but I think these projects are very vital. And they can use this building as an emergency shelter if they needed to sometime down the road, and be able to house people in this facility. I've looked at their building and the way they've built it. They've built for years to come, and we're going to see a lot more of this coming because of the growth in rural Utah. We're having a lot more growth in these areas, and the impact is hitting these little communities. And like I said, there's not a lot of monies out there to help these small communities, and I don't know. I have to lean toward trying to support fire, your EMTs, and your emergency people. But anyway, I think it's a good project, and affordability. Sigurd, like I said, what they got 430 people and about 200 and some odd households. So it's one of those situations that the fire's there, and Sigurd, you know, sits on the oil, which is one of our largest producers for mineral extraction. That's what helps us in our area to be where we are, just the number two producer in the state of Utah. We produce a lot of oil in that area. I don't know, I asked Brenda about, and maybe somebody else knows this, but our gypsum plant is very, very active there, and the gypsum is produced there. But I don't know if we get mineral lease money from gravel pits or from gypsum. But that is one of those things. It's there again. It's a big facility with very few people to take care of the fire needs. So that's kind of my pitch. Thank you.
I appreciate your comments, Commissioner, which leads to a couple questions in my mind. Chief, how often the majority of our rural fire stations are volunteer. And my understanding of that is that firefighters don't staff the station 24/7. So how often, again, in averages, because I don't know if there is an average year, especially with wildland fires and things like that, or, you know, emergency situations where you would be housed at the fire station, but in very broad general terms, how often is the fire station used where you're using the capacity of the industrial commercial kitchen and those types of things that are in this application?
On average, quarterly, I would say. As far as our specific kitchen, it's a nicety. When we designed it, we were sort of thinking in mind of not only department use, but maybe access on a donation basis. To volunteer fire departments, we operate heavily on the generosity of our, you know, of our local residents. We do a lot of fundraising, so that went into the design of our training area and our kitchen, maybe on a donation basis. Now, as far as using it for department. Recently, there was a fire at the Succo mine of Salina Canyon. Salina City responded to that fire, and as a result, we were on call to come to Salina City. We had six members of our fire department staying at the fire station on call all day long. It's a rarity, but it does happen. The need of some sort of living arrangement, I think, is necessary.
I appreciate that. Chief Kirkwood, along those lines, you brought up Salina, and Commissioner Ogden brought up Richfield. Every community, more or less, has a fire station to meet their needs, and you have a district, and I understand vaguely, that these are broken up, that they're supportive services depending on the degree of fire and need. What type of coordination exists between the different communities, the counties, in the way these stations are designed, built, and operated? In other words, does Salina have, and I don't know that they're ranked this way, but, a Class 1A fire station, and then Sigar can be a Class 2B fire station because Salina has all this certain amount of equipment. Hopefully you get what I'm driving at here. To what degree does that type of collaboration take place, or does it not? Does each fire district kind of have to take care of themselves and have everything they need, or how does that work?
We get together, we have a chief's meeting every other month. We talk about these things. As far as the structure, as far as an official guideline we follow, I have to say that there isn't one. Sigar Fire, Salina Fire, Aurora Fire, Elsinore Fire, they're standalone fire departments. There's great coordination in our county amongst the fire departments. And again, we have Richfield they'll automatically respond every time we get a call. As far as that goes, Commissioner, you might know something.
Just to clarify, we're not a special service district in our area. Every one of these fire stations are standalone. So they're not classified, you're classified as a 2 or a 3 or whatever. Our area is all standalone. We don't have a special service district to help a taxing entity to help us. The cities all do their own thing. And so, but they do coordinate. Every one of us coordinate. Chief has said here, we get together, or they'll get together on an every other month basis. And there has been situations where we've had some catastrophic fires and we've had to call out two or three different departments. But obviously, if it's wildland, we only allow so many people to go out on a wildland fire. And I think they're all certified wildfire fighters as well. But we try to coordinate these small areas to help each other out when we can. But that everybody has to kind of have their own fire. Equipment.
Thank you. Again, excuse my ignorance. I'm strictly coming at this from the perspective of a funder, and the whole objective in what we're trying to do is create some equity and parity and fairness, and that's why the main reason we developed a tool is so that it takes all these numerous factors into consideration and gives us an appropriate range for each one, so that, again, there is some equity to it, because these things can get very emotional, and I want everyone to realize how much we value your service as first responders. Critical service, and we're more than happy to support that. The problem we run into is making sure, again, that we're doing that in the most equitable way that we can as funders, and it's never going to be perfect, and that's why we've got 11 angry men here. Candace keeps us somewhat balanced. That's a big job. So, other questions from the board? Mr. Zanotti.
Jim, is it possible to expand, remodel, and maybe upgrade this existing fire station before you go by and build a new one?
The existing fire station is another steel building. it wasn't designed for addition.
Problem is, it's out of city, and I hate to break in, I'm sorry. Problem is out of city, and there's no way to really add on and use it like it's laid out. So it would be better to put another one, how we want to, how we think we need to lay out. The one runs like east and west, and the other we wanted to run north and south, and it'd just be over enough that we'd still have enough room to get around and make, I could use them. This one is pretty much couldn't add on to it.
Another problem we have with it is the height and the depth. The height of the doors, the depth of the building. It's pretty tight. I think addition, I don't see how it's possible.
So how many trucks do you have in your fleet?
Currently we have 5. We have a promise of a secondary structure engine from a larger part of Salina. In that case, we'll likely look at offloading one of our structure engines. But also, we've been given a tanker to use for wildland purposes, and we have nowhere to store that either.
So right now, how many of those trucks have a permanent accommodation and how it stays out?
We have 4 trucks currently parked in the 3-bay building. Okay. One of them's outside with a tanker on the way. And again, a structure engine promise. If we have all these engines at the same time, that'll put us in, you know, 8 vehicles. Looking at these winter months, we're not sure what we're going to do with them.
So you're not building a bigger place to come back and ask for 2 more trucks, are you?
No, that's not the plan.
How many personnel are you accommodating in the new existing building?
I have 14 current active members.
Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams?
I'm really not an expert on fire stations, so my questions might be, you might be able to tell. First of all, do you have any kind of a replacement fund in your fire department? I'm wondering why you have no skin in the game. You're not putting up any cash.
Well, bottom line is we run things really tight.
Okay.
We recently started our wildland operations. We get paid for that, but that's you don't get a lot of calls. We get a small budget from the town. The town does what they can. They're big to work with, but the money's just not there. And like I mentioned earlier, a lot of what we depend on comes from donations. We have an annual fundraiser. That takes care of a big portion of what we do.
We talked about some industry there, the shoot rock plant, the oil companies or something. Do they not generate tax revenue for the town?
Not that much.
Okay.
Most of the thing where we generate that comes from sales tax.
Okay.
Well, like for example, USG, they sell sheetrock, but it's all wholesale. Wolverine, you guys see how much oil they ship and how much money you get from them. Yeah. And that goes county plus all you guys. You guys, I don't know how many million you get from them.
But there, it's not generating property tax or personal.
Just a little property tax.
Okay.
But not, we don't get that much. And then we have a couple of businesses that help us, but.
That oil well, it's not in sacred town limits, it's in the county.
Okay. And you have in here. I haven't looked at the drawing close enough, but you have kitchen appliances. So in Monticello, which I know is probably smaller than where you're at, our fire department doesn't have a kitchen because the guys come and jump on the engine and go fight the fire and then they go home. Do your firefighters stay at the facility for an extended period of time that they would need to have a kitchen facility? I'm not trying to be.
No, I understand.
I'm just trying to understand.
No, and I appreciate the question. And I want to say yes. But the reality is, keeping volunteers on a volunteer fire department is very difficult. Having guys that are willing to come to meetings, you know, willing to respond to a fire at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's a hard thing to maintain. We try to make it beneficial. Part of that is, you know, we'll have, you know, once every 2-3 months, we'll go to Birch. We'll have a Christmas party. Having a facility there, you know, to have some sort of small perk goes a long ways on a volunteer fire department. You know, you're donating a lot of your time and you're doing it for free. You know, you're putting yourself in potentially hazardous scenarios.
It's all in.
Okay. Other questions?
Follow-up questions, Chairman.
Okay, Zanotti.
Do you deal with the hazmat situation, cleanup, and?
As a department, no. We have three members with hazmat qualifications, but as a department, no. Generally, Richfield responds to all of our fires. They'll respond to hazmat.
So you don't need the shower accommodation, scrub place, any of those for the...
For growth, yes. To where we are now, no, we don't.
Thank you.
So, looking at the tool, it's for a suggest cost, not up, and I don't know if this is right, but it made a minimum of, what is it, 300 over?
400.
The tool minimum loan amount?
411.
Okay, I wasn't sure if we had a direct sheet after what you said. Which is quite a bit higher than the grant amount of $150,000. That the city's requested, such a motion would be appropriate if there were a board member who would like to do such.
I make a motion to approve the minimum amount as requested, at least for two shows.
So that would be a minimum of $411,000 of loan, 30 years at 0% interest, because you are the second highest producer in the state. So the tool takes all of that into consideration. And the grant amount would be $649,000. Is that your motion, Mr.
Chairman? Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second to that motion? I that's what I was afraid of.
$449,000.
Oh, a much larger grant. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's even better. Okay, so the grant amount for clarification is $914,000. Thank you, Kevin.
Chairman, before we get to the second on that motion, I'd like to make a substitute motion to go to the medium range with $544,000 in loan, $781,000 in grant with a 0.5% interest. Just to be fair, Naples City, we built a new fire station and we did more along that line in the medium, and we actually cover and service 3,500 gas wells. So we cover a big portion for money that's generated. And I realize that, and that makes them $19,000. And Naples, we struggle to make our payments, but we're making our payments. And I think it would be a good thing for them to look at in the county, Sevier, to create a fire district to help support these smaller little communities.
Okay.
So that's my substitute.
Well, we have to have a second first, or by the procedure.
Okay.
Jumping ahead.
So let's step back for a moment. Is there a second to Mr. Zanotti's motion? Oh, I've got two, but we'll give that to Mr. Stevens on the second for the original motion, at which time a second would be in order, or I'm sorry, a substitute would be in order.
Well, that's my substitute that I've made. So
is there a second to the substitute motion of going with the median range, which is a $554,000 loan? Well, I'm having a hard time on it.
781 grand.
Thank you, Kim. It's that.
Treasurer Lynch
is the second. Any discussion on the substitute motion?
Mr. Chairman.
So can we compare the what income level or tax base do they have in the Sigurd then compared to the Maymakers town? So that's what we also need to consider in the calculations.
do? Let's go to Commissioner Ogden then.
Just kind of knowing a little bit more about Sigurd's finances, they can't afford where you guys are going with this. And I you know, I'm just letting you know right up front. They couldn't afford the median range. There's no way. They get what you've got. Water hookups is all you have, Sigurd. That's it. So I guess that's why they're requesting where they're at. I would make a motion for the motion to go back to the original request.
See, now you're throwing Robert's rules into the work, aren't you? we'll go to just hold on a second, Mr. Zanotti. Aaron, do you have the parliamentary on how that would?
We need to vote on the
After that, then let's go to your question, Mr. Zanotti.
Just by way of disclosure, I came out I-70 through the Sigurd, Joseph, Richfield, and all those communities. I always make a point before coming to the meetings, go to communities that we have already projects, so I can get some better ideas. And exactly what the Commissioner Ogden saying, that it was not much of a tax-based business of any kind. I did not see any hotels and motels, restaurants, and gas stations. And unfortunately, yes, we come to the meetings. We all make a judgment of that what is best for the medium or the minimum or maximum, but we also need to consider the actual facts that one community can afford whatever we offer them. So, but you still have until February to make that decision.
Yeah, that's a very valid point. Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. Is what would happen is the board's motion would be to put this on the priority list for funding consideration in February. If the proposal is totally unworkable for the community, then you can work with staff about that, and at the funding meeting, we can come prepared to, you know, discuss something different. So, you know, you don't have to take what we're giving, but again, we're not here to necessarily negotiate with you, but you can work with staff after the fact to come up with something that might be more doable. Commissioner Adams, I see you're waving the microphone.
Yeah, I'm trying to get your attention. You're in Salt Lake, you know. So,
that's why I was looking to the right.
Don't brow at me, Kenneth. Okay. On your request for $150,000 loan, it looks like the annual payment's $5,000. How are you going to make that payment?
Well, could I just take 1 second to tell you a little bit about our finances? Me and our accountant kind of went over this the other day. We have two loans that are paid off on our last fire department. So we're working on that. We wanted to see maybe if we could kick that back like 3 years to help us on this. But we have what we have, our average is $16,000 a year coming in that we could put on fire department. So, and we still owe like $8,000 for a little bit longer. So by the time, if we got that $5,000 plus what we owe, we'd be really close and we could make it happen. But that's the only way we could make it happen.
And how soon will those other loans be paid off?
The one that's paid off in 2026, the other is 2034. 2034 is only like $3,500. But then in the 26, it's $5,000. So, but, you know, we will have a few more people coming in, and our tax base will grow a little bit. That helps, I think. But we are small, and we're just struggling trying to fight the fight and make it happen.
So where exactly does the $16,000 come from?
It just comes from our property tax, the little businesses we have there, and then, you know, I sit down with the accountant on that to see where it all comes from. But some of it's property tax. It's the things we can use for fire department. It's not our water or anything like that. It's just fire department, things that would work for fire department.
So to that point, for the board's edification, Paul looked at the numbers that the tool is utilizing, and did you just quickly, for the board, state what you just told me?
Oh, yeah, for the finances, or not finances. We looked at
we have this information from the applications and from Brenda's work. Sigurd has a total assessed valuation of about $28 million. And as a reference, Naples has $258 million, roughly, assessed valuation. Sigurd has a general fund balance of $187,000, roughly, and Naples is $6.2 million in comparison.
So Sigurd is relatively, quite significantly smaller when it comes to those financial markers that we look at. Again, that's not the entire picture, but it's kind of a snapshot.
Chairman, and I realize that. I wasn't trying to, but they're trying to build something comparable to what Naples. But,
right.
So they're asking, a real small community is asking for something that a bigger community can afford to do. And so, it's hard for us to look at that and say, how do we justify giving these guys Taj Mahal for the size of the community and somebody else that needs the money?
Thank you for that, Mayor. I'll call the question. Candace, can you repeat the motion as you under the substitute motion as you have it? And then roll call vote that.
The substitute motion on the table is a $544,000 loan, 30 years at 0%.
0.5.
That's why they made me do the big talking. And $781,000 in grant.
So will roll call vote that motion?
Treasurer Rose.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden.
No.
Mayor Nelson.
No.
Mr. Stevens.
No.
Commissioner Taylor.
No.
Commissioner Adams.
No.
Mr. Simonotti.
No.
That motion fails.
So let's go back to the original motion. And that's why you have the mic on. Would you restate the original motion and roll call that?
The original motion was for a $411,000 loan, 0%, 30 years, and $914,000 grant. Those in favor? Treasurer Rose.
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
No.
Commissioner Ogden?
No.
Mayor Nielsen?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
No.
Mr. Simonotti?
Yes.
That motion passes. The roll call vote.
Okay. And again, that project will be placed on the priority list for final funding consideration at our February funding meeting. And again, if there are concerns, information that was missed, you're invited to work with Candace and her staff to discuss those issues further in February. But hopefully this works for you. Again, this is the minimum that our tool, which tries to create equity, recommends, and we understand that it's a difficult stretch for a community like Sigurd. And if the project needs to be scaled back, then that's something we have to look at as well. So, thank you, Mayor, Chief, Brian.
Appreciate
you. Thank you, Candace, for helping us navigate that, and Aaron. Next project is a little closer to where we sit. Moab Valley Fire Protection Service. Candace, would you like to brief us on the project?
Number two on the agenda today is Moab Valley Fire Protection Service. This is for a new fire truck, a pumper tanker. They'd like to step to the table. Their request is a $600,000 grant. They're in Grand County. The funding tool median range is a $228,000 loan, 30-year at 1%, and a $372,000 grant. They do have $200,000 in applicant cash. There has also been discussion concerning additional cash that they would contribute if they had to buy additional equipment. So they plan on doing that too. By equipment. This project consists of the purchase of a new Pierce Custom Enforcer 3,000 gallon pumper tanker. And I emphasize 3,000 gallon because we have a follow-up truck request, which is a little bit smaller and a little bit less money, if the board will pay attention to that. This October 18th, 2021 estimate for this vehicle is a total of $810,000 after two discounts. My question would be, do they have those discounts in place? What is necessary to keep those discounts? The total amount without discounts is $833,933. That is in your packet. And with that, we'll turn the time over. Oh, one more thing. They are going to have another public hearing. Did you notice their public hearing?
That's my first question.
That is scheduled for November 16th, 2021.
Well, welcome. We appreciate you making the long drive up the canyon, especially with those neckties so tight. If you'll please introduce yourselves and give us some information about the request.
Chair, board, thank you for the opportunity to sit in front of you today. My name is T.J. Brewer. I'm the fire chief of the Mott Fire Department, probably served for 23 years. I'll give a quick spill, and then I'll give it to my battalion chief who did the application, Kathy Bondi, she's our county and HR person. As the chair mentioned earlier, Moab's bursting at the seams, and now we're trying to be able to catch up. And one of our key things that we're looking at doing right now is replacing aging equipment. The 3,000 gallon tanker.
Chief, if you could pull the mic over.
Sorry, I apologize. One of the reasons we went with this truck is we're looking at tenders versus compers, structure trucks, tenders. And in the rural area that we're at, we've come up with this build to make sure that initially we can get copious amounts of water very quickly. Some of these outlying areas of our community, Thompson, Half Creek, Castle Valley, stuff like that. So that's the reason that we built this type of truck and presented to you today. So I'll go ahead and pass the time over to my battalion chief for him to introduce himself.
Again, thank you guys for having us and thank you for all the time that you put in just considering this. My name is Shea Walker. I'm the battalion chief. I'm the chief brewer here. Just looking at the area and kind of what Sigurd was talking about our having volunteers and trying to keep them, you know, motivated and trying to keep our numbers up to where we have enough personnel to deal with things. This is the truck we've been looking at for a while. It's really gonna allow a truck full of three people to manage a fire that right now takes us, we went to a fire in Thompson, and to have that much water there, we had three trucks, and they all had to have three people on. So it's a lot for our volunteers, and it's a lot for our community, and for our outlying areas, Thompson, Pack Creek, as Chief Brewer said. So that's what we're looking at.
I'm just going to introduce myself. I'm Kathy Bondi, and I provide financial oversight for the district. So that's why I am here, and thank you so much for taking the time to entertain this.
Well, no disrespect to the chiefs, Kathy, but from where we sit, you're the most important person.
My guys will agree with me. Chiefs and I.
We're all about
that. We're definitely operational folks.
So let's go to the board for any questions or emotions. Let's start with Commissioner Ogden, and then we'll go to the chief.
Well, I've got a few of them for you. I see that you're bringing some money to the table, $200,000. I've got to commend you for that. And you are in a special service district. One thing that I was looking through here on your things, have you looked at other grants or other opportunities? For example, USDA, they have grant funding for these kind of projects. Have you looked into that? That's one question. Another one that I have for you, have you looked into trying to get some tanker from the federal excess properties? That's what some of the small communities have done. And it works really well. The only qualification is you've got to use that
equipment on fire 90% of the time and keep it covered. Then just a couple questions
that I had. You didn't really discuss a lot about your expiring income sources or your expenses.
So I just kind of wonder where you are with that, some of that on your, in your public notes there.
So yeah, we have put in for other grants, but they haven't been for fire truck specific. We put in for air packs and other stuff. This is the first time we've gone from a grant process for a fire truck. The tankers, you're talking about like FEPP type of stuff, they're not really what we're looking for. That's just tanker specific. That's 3,000 gallons of water, as you well know. We're looking for more of that structure tanker mix to be able to go assist Thompson and Cass Valley and stuff like that. And also in our current district, too. And I'll let Kathy, that answer that question.
Yes,
I'll let Kathy speak on the financial end of it.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that last question.
Well, it said you had some hiring income sources, and you didn't discuss much about your expenses. Where are you on your financials? Have we got to see some of that on your financials?
I'm sorry, I still didn't follow the
point. Well, let's go back to your notes.
Use the microphone.
Yeah.
Okay,
is that on?
Yep.
Okay. I was just going through some of your minutes there. Apologize, maybe I maybe go on to the other question and I'll see if I can find that.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question relative to what is the ratio of full-time staff versus volunteer staff?
We have 4.5 current full-time staff and 30 volunteers. 30, I don't know. We just got a couple brand new guys recently, so we're right in that 30, just above 30 folks.
That halftime position is shared with EMS and an emergency coordinator, which Shea Walker also serves.
We're getting creative on how to spend our money. And that staff that's administration staff, so it's an 8-to-5 job. It's not we don't have sleepers.
Okay.
And then we're our own district, so that's maintenance, that's all paperwork, administrative stuff, so.
Let's go with Mr. Zanotti and then we'll get to that.
Yes, go
ahead. Okay, well, while Nagy collects his thought, we're not going to do you.
Okay. Question, you mentioned Thompson. If we talk about a distance, a radius of your responding, the area you respond to, could you comment on that? I believe we come through Thompson, some of us anyway, getting out here. How far away is that? Is there a farther point that you service? Comment on that, please.
Yeah, so we currently, our response district, Grant County is 3,600 something square miles. And you have Thompson that has one firefighter in it, and then Castle Valley, and that's pretty much Grant County as far as fire departments go, other than us. So we cover all of that, the highway 191 up to I-70, and then over to mile marker 214, which is Cisco, for the Cisco exit, and where Colorado comes and covers part of that freeway right there. We also cover down in San Juan County quite a bit, down to the Homero, is where our boundary actually stops, but we do quite a bit past that.
They ask us to go, we get a hazmat call that took us 8 hours, so quite a bit further. We do run going on a little bit more in the finance. We're also trying to fund hazmat tech teams, dive teams, wildland, all that kind of stuff. So just go further into that way. And we are exploring other revenue avenues for sure.
Thank you.
Mr. Zanotti, are you ready?
Yes, please.
All
Chief, about your age and the number of the trucks in your fleet, can you please update us on that?
Yep. So the oldest truck that we have, the mainline, is a 1990 Pierce truck. NFPA suggests we switch out trucks every 20 years. And when I took over as chief 4 years ago, I realized we were at that limit. And a lot of times it's not the hours or the miles on fire trucks, it's more of the water, the tank, the leaking, this stuff like that. So we have the newest truck we have is a 2010 Pierce, and then 1986 Mack, is it the 85 Mack tanker truck. So they're expiring both through what NFPA suggested you place them out, and we're now starting to spend a lot of money on fixing these trucks up. That's the problem that we're running into, is the maintenance end of these trucks. I don't care how old they are, if they operate. On that 95 Pierce, we had to replace a motor last year, which was a $50,000-$60,000 project. So, and then we had to replace all the water valves in it too, which was another $15,000 to $20,000. So there is a reason that NFPA suggests you switch these trucks out at a certain age. And it's hard because a lot of fire departments around the state have aging equipment, but we realize with some of our equipment, it's more expensive to keep them than to purchase a new truck.
So then, how many do you have in your fleet then, total?
Five structure trucks, five mainline engines.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams.
Really appreciate this fire district. They've been very helpful to San Juan County, which is important to me. Would you guys talk a little bit about Pack Creek fire that happened this summer and give as much detail as you can?
So the Pack Creek fire started as a campfire that got out of control, and we got paged out. We were the second truck there. There's an interagency fire center.
Just a second. Now, tell us how that fire started. Have you found the culprit yet?
Human cause, and no, we haven't found them.
And they were camping in a closed area, right?
Absolutely, during closed burn season.
Where is Back Creek, approximately?
Are you familiar with Moab?
Somewhat, yeah.
If you look to the south towards the mountains, those south mountains there, it's tucked in that bottom right corner.
Thank you.
It's in that little valley right at the base of the mountains.
It's a beautiful scene.
It is. There's 60 structures in Castle Valley, or in Calgary, I apologize. But anyway, the interagency fire center was out doing some drills, and they saw the smoke. A resident of Castle Valley also called it in, somebody who lived above where it started. So they got a head start, had a truck headed up there, and we were right behind them. And then by the time we got there, it's still a probably 15-minute drive from the station to get up in there. It's narrow, tight roads, they're the dead end, so it's hard to get, you know, when you're driving a big truck, it's hard to make room for those trucks up in there. We took some of our wildland trucks, we took a water tender, and we took an engine right off the bat. The fire started up above the campground, came down through the campground, a very narrow area, and we ended up having to pull back and actually regroup back in Pack Creek. From there, that night, the fire pushed all the way down the creek through, kind of weaved through the houses, and we were able to prevent a lot of that. There was one structure lost that day. The next day, the winds picked up. It's way more than it was the first day. The winds picked up and turned around and horseshoed around and came back up the creek, back at all those houses. We lost five more structures, with a total of six structures lost out of 60 structures that were threatened. With the help of all of our volunteers, we have as many trucks up there as we can get up there as our volunteers could bring. And then the help of San Juan County, South Iron Hospital, and then the federal resources that we had.
How many helicopters or tankers? You know, when a fire starts in San Juan County, it's just like everything in San Juan County. It's big. And it's just like in San Juan County, when the wind blows, it's big. And it just played heck with these people out there trying to fight that fire. But you had a bunch of support people, didn't you?
Yeah, aircraft-wise, by the time I got out there, they were already flying seats and tankers over there to try to stop that. Just to go back, very initially when we regrouped, we were tasked with structure protection. That was our task. But the feds said, we'll take care of wildland stuff of it. You guys take care of the structure side. And that's one of the reasons that this truck is so important and vital to us. The first truck that was out there was a 600-gallon truck. And we feel we could have done a lot more damage to that fire. We're a very fast and aggressive fire department. We actually burnt one of our trucks. We're still in trouble for that, so I won't get too detailed on that. But we're very aggressive, and we tried to contain as quick as we could. We feel with 3,000 gallons out there, we could have done a lot more good to that fire. And there were some heroic acts that night in that aggressive firefighting. Some of my guys went in places that they shouldn't have been in, and they ended up stopping that fire from heading further down the creek. Then, obviously, the next morning it turned up the creek, but I'm very proud of those volunteers and proud of the work they do. And I just want to get them the equipment that they need. And I feel that this truck is one of the pieces of equipment that we're very lacking on. I think that could have helped us immensely on that fire specifically. A few years back, we lost 9 houses in Moab, which I had just left a commission meeting saying that's the kind of stuff that never happened in Moab. I had to eat my words. We did lose 9 houses, and again, big water quickly, as most members in the fire service will tell you, can do a lot of good. The Thompson fire, there's multiple structures out there. We got to send 9 firefighters out in 3 different trucks, and we feel like we could have done it with 1 truck and 3 firefighters. But again, that Packard fire, we were out there for at least 24 hours with almost every piece of equipment we could stir up, which left our district very vulnerable. So I talked to the feds. I said, hey, we need to start bringing some of our resources back into town. We left 2 structure trucks up there to protect Packard the entire time that fire was going. So does that answer what you'd like?
Yeah, that's great. Keith, I'd like to make a motion. This fire district is committed up to as much as $400,000 to this project. They have skin in the game, the medium range. I'd make the motion that we give them a $375,000 grant and a $225,000 loan at 0.5% interest.
This is the correct number on the screen.
Maximum should be 15.
Yeah. Those are the
15 years, right?
On the screen, those are the correct numbers.
Okay. I'm still going to stand with my motion.
So I've got, if this adds up, motion by Commissioner Adams is for a $375,000 grant, a $222,000 loan, $25,000 loan?
$225,000.
Yeah. Thank you. A 0.5% for 15 years, correct?
Yep.
Great. And that's dependent on getting actual minutes from a public hearing. Is there a second to that motion? We have Commissioner Ogden with the second. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, Candace, would you roll call vote, please?
Treasurer Brooks.
Okay, so it's, sorry, $375,000
grant, $225,000 loan, 0.5%, 15 years.
And on the tool, that's outside the tool, am I correct on that?
They do have an exemption.
No, they would need an exemption. Can I do a substitute motion? Or is that inappropriate?
That would be appropriate.
Okay, I will do a substitute motion that we follow the median tool recommendation as shown on the projector.
median.
So that's a, is this correct? That's 276, and then a $324,000 grant?
Correct.
Okay, and is that at a half a percent for 15 years?
Yeah.
Great. That's in order. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that, Chairman.
Mayor Baker on the second, on the substitute of the second. Any discussion on the substitution? So, Candace, when you're ready, if you roll call vote the substitution at the medium rate.
Treasurer Oaks?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
No.
Mayor Nielsen?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
No.
Commissioner Adams?
No.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes.
Okay, so that will be placed on the priority list for funding consideration in February. If there's any adjustments, please work with Candace and her staff so that we can consider those appropriately in February.
Thank you. Thank you guys for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you being here.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Hopefully we don't need to call any of you people. So next up we have the town of Bigwater, which is 4.3 on your agenda. This is also a pumper truck. It sounds like it's a little bit smaller. So while they're coming to the table, Candace, if you'll brief us on the project when you're ready.
Three on the agenda today is Town of Bigwater. It's a new fire pumper truck. This is similar but different than the last truck. It's a little bit smaller. The request is for a $750,000 grant. They have $50,000 cash. Project total is $800,000. The median tool range would be $375,000 loan, $375,000 grant, 15 year at 0.5%. This is a Pierce Enforcer pumper, 6-person cab, but the capacity is not 3,000, it's 1,000 gallons.
900 gallons.
How many gallons?
I think it's only 900 gallons.
Okay. Okay. It was described as 1,000 gallons.
It is.
Okay, go.
Top it off.
In the public hearing minutes, we're pretty good. They list a lot of places that they're the big brother to. The question posed at the public hearing, I don't know if they were answered. Possible loan financing was not discussed. This was, there is a bid for this truck. September 28th, 2021 is the date of the bid. Is it still good? It's pretty recent. The vehicle price total was $768,967. I don't show any discounts there. My question would be for the applicant. You should pursue the discounts that Moab got.
Yeah, I'll talk to them about that.
And with that, we'll turn the time over to you.
Thank you, Candace. Now, welcome. If you'll please introduce yourself and describe the request.
Welcome. My name is Robert Barnack, and I'm the Deputy Fire Chief for Bigwater Fire. Thank you all for allowing us to be here today. I can tell you that right now that, yeah, I'm a little nervous. First time I've ever sat in a group this big trying to plead my case. So, with that said, so the town of Bigwater has two fire pumpers right now. One of them, we just had a fire out in Korea in the county, and both trucks went out of service during that fire. The one we had sent, we were able to get one fixed and get it back to the fire station. The other one had to be towed to Las Vegas to be looked at. When I got the bid back to fix that truck, so that truck is a 1994 Pierce pumper. That's our newest truck. That truck, I got a quote back to fix that at just right around $40,000.
And at the end of the day, I still have a $5,000 truck. So in my mind, throwing good money after bad is not a good thing. The other truck is my pride and joy. It's what I started on in 1988 as a volunteer firefighter in Page, Arizona. So I like that truck. It is out of date. They mentioned the NFPA regulations. It doesn't meet NFPA regulations. The ISO regulates our pumping status. It doesn't meet that, and it definitely does not meet DOT standards. So right now we're operating an unsafe fire truck at that point. With that said, I contacted Fire Trucks Unlimited. They're the ones that have our fire truck in Vegas. And they are loaning us right now a pumper to get by with at a rate of $4,000 a month.
That's not a loan.
I know.
You loan like my brother-in-law.
So anyway, so...
Sorry, I apologize. I'm trying to break the tension a little bit.
Good. I mean, I've been listening to you guys, so it's trust me, I'm a lot more at ease now than I was when I first watched you. So, with that said, without this truck from north from Vegas, we wouldn't have a fire truck to operate with. So that's why we're trying to get a new fire truck. My original proposal I proposed two refurbished fire trucks from Fire Trucks and Women at around the same price. Well, actually three. We did three fire trucks, just a little bit more than what our grant was put in for. And then we were told that the board will not fund refurbished vehicles. So then we put in this brand new fire truck, and it is different than the pumper that Moab Valley is looking for. They're more of a supply tanker truck, where ours is more of a strictly structural protection fire truck. So that's the little difference in the size and the prices. So anyway, so that's this truck. Here's what I'd like to tell the board is the fact that the town of Bigwater sits out by itself. Our closest next town is Page, Arizona. And they have agreed to, if they can, send people out to help. The next town is Kanab, Utah. They're almost an hour away from us. We have a lot of large boat storages in our town that, heaven forbid, one of them catch fire, we would never be able to stop it with the equipment we have. My original proposal was for a ladder truck and a pumper truck, and then another smaller pumper truck, more of a highway type truck. The closest ladder truck is in Page. It would take 30 minutes to get there. By the time it got there, we'd be out of luck. So that was my original proposal for the three trucks, the refurbished trucks. I was a little disappointed when I found out that the board wouldn't fund refurbished vehicles.
If I may interrupt you, Chief, just for the record, we prefer not to do refurbished vehicles for obvious reasons.
Right.
Refer to my brother-in-law. But we will.
We need to get a brother-in-law.
We do understand that for small, rural, remote communities, oftentimes that's the best deal. You know, we heard earlier that Salina is getting rid of one of theirs, and, you know, Sigurd is picking it up. I mean, so we will fund that under the right circumstances. So there is some misinformation that comes out from vendors from time to time, so I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay.
So thank you for the interruption.
So you're right. If it wasn't for Page Fire Department, we wouldn't have a fire truck. They gave us both of their fire trucks. You know, the one that's in the shop now, we had for, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, and worked with that. And then we just got this new one just before our other one broke down from the Page Fire. So the need for the town of Bigwater would be my original proposal was for a ladder truck and a bumper truck and then that smaller bumper truck. That's the need we need. This new fire truck, it would be wonderful. It really would. But it's not going to take care of our needs. I'm still going to have to come back and ask for $1.2 million for a ladder truck. But...
So what we could do is put this on the pending list. You can go back and then come to us with what you really need. And we can accommodate that at any time. Your choice at this point, but the board doesn't need to consider anything beyond just putting this on the pending list. We can further that conversation when you've got...
That's it.
Or you want to continue
what
you're asking.
I'll be honest with you, this brand new fire truck, to me, it would be wonderful to have, but it doesn't meet our needs. Our needs are the original proposal for the town of Bighorn and for the safety of our citizens.
We need a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to put a pending list.
Thank you, Mr. Renati.
Sorry.
We have a motion.
I would like to make a motion to put this on the pending list, Deputy Chief, because you really need something that you're going to be able to use it for the purpose. And the, just by way of introduction, you are among friends. We are more scared of you than you are of us. And then also information sheet that the boss that he's talking about, houseboats and all the stuff, all belongs to Governor Herbert, and another one to Governor Levitt, so.
All right, thank you. That motion is in order. We have 2 seconds, so we'll give it to Mr. Stevens because he's wounded.
I just wonder, I know your brother-in-law's sister is in the audience. I just wondered if she wanted to defend her brother.
She probably does, but just so you all know, I'm either in trouble with her or with her. That's just the world I live in. And no fire trucks are going to put that out.
You're definitely in trouble, Keith.
He's walking home tonight.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Any discussion?
You understand the motion?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, come back with what you need. We'll talk with staff.
Yeah, work with staff to get it on a future.
Okay, appreciate it.
Roll call vote that quickly, Dennis.
Do we have to vote on that?
Yes.
Treasurer Rhodes?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Ogden?
Yeah.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Stevens?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Kanani?
Aye.
There we go. Well done. Thank you. Thank you for being here. We look forward to seeing you again real soon. Hopefully nothing burns in the intro, right?
Keith?
Your voice.
You know, he made a comment there about being nervous. I can remember sitting in this exact room as a mayor looking at this board and being nervous. And I can also relate now, being on the board and looking out there, I'm nervous. So both ways you're nervous in this group. So we're all in the same boat.
It's important work, and I think we all should, you know, we take it seriously. We may have a laugh now and then, but it's very serious work. So, yeah, that does cause a little bit of nerves. We've got 3 more projects. We're
Jerry, if you're nervous, you ought to be in Keith's shoes right now.
Think about that.
Yeah,
we'll reconvene at 10:15. So thank you for indulging us in a quick break.
Okay, next on our agenda is number 4, Fillmore City. Surprisingly, it's a new fire station. So. Candace, will you tell us?
Number 4 on the agenda today is from Fillmore City, brand new fire station, as stated. Their request is for a $3,600,000 funding package, of which there is a $1,440,000 loan, 30-year at 0.5%, and a $2,160,000 grant. Fillmore City is in Miller County. The median tool range offers a $2,988,000 loan, 30-year at 2%, and a $375,000 grant. The project total is $3,600,000. There is no applicant cash. This project consists of the construction of an 80 by 180, 14,400 square foot fire station with all the appurtenances and the site work. In the public hearing minutes, there was a background given. The estimated cost in the public hearing minutes was $3.75 million, so my request is, or my question is, should the numbers change? I don't know if this is per square foot or whatnot, but the minutes do not align with what Fillmore City has requested from CIB. In the description, the existing fire station is on a small lot with limited parking, so they're going to put this on some land that they own right now, and it's going to have 8 pull-through truck bays. It's a sizable fire station. There's 4,100 square feet of office space, locker rooms, restrooms, training rooms, and storage and laundry facilities, and there's 4,100 square feet of utility storage and living area on the mezzanine above the main floor. It looks like a lovely facility. Fillmore is a larger town than what we have previously discussed, a larger area, but with that, I will turn the time over to the board to discuss the fire station.
Thank you, Candace. Welcome. Appreciate you being here with us. If you'll introduce yourself and then describe the project for the board.
I'm Mike Holt, Mayor of Fillmore City. We got Devin Shields. He's from Sunrise Engineering to give us any engineering questions. And we got Pat Bennett. He's our assistant fire chief. This building, we just run out of room with the equipment that we have to support not only Fillmore, but Interstate and all the surrounding communities, the smaller communities that we have that don't have the equipment to handle things on their own. So this building, we got all of our stuff stacked in the building right now, but if something happens, it takes time to move things around for what we need to get out, and that time is critical. This will save a lot of time, and with that, I'll turn the time over to our fire chief and our engineers. They got most of the answers for you, so they can ask.
Is there anything, any questions like that I can answer that would clearly?
So let's go to the board for questions. You got Mayor Nelson.
Mayor Holt. Mayor Holt referred to surrounding areas that you support. Would you just be specific, kind of on either radius or the other entities that this facility can help and support, please?
Yeah. So we're right on I-15. We're about 30 miles each direction from the county line, which would be our where we service. There's 5 towns between the county, well, kind of 6. There's 4 towns, there's the Paiute Reservation, and then there's Co-Poor, which is a, I don't think it's a real town technically, but a place. So we're their primary, if they have a structure, fire, anything like that, they have to call us. They struggle to get 3 people on a fire truck even respond to a fire. I mean, times are tough, you know. So we're about 30 miles each direction, north and south. And then obviously we go up the mountain a little ways. That turns into Forest Service. We assist Forest Service or, you know, in the initial attack, stuff like that. And then we go west to Highway 257, which is out where, like, there's a wine plant out there, if anybody knows Miller County. But, so we have a pretty big area. We house 10 trucks and one a rehab trailer, is what we call it. It has an air compressor system for cooling air packs and stuff like that. Right now we have one truck parked outside. We have to drain it because we can't leave it outside in the wintertime with water, which can hinder response time. The firehouse we're in is, like I say, we have to stack our trucks deep, so if you need a rescue truck out, you might have to move a fire truck out of the way to pull the rescue truck out, which is hindering time and response for sure.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Treasurer Oaks.
Yeah, what? How close is the nearest fire station?
What do you mean?
How close is the nearest fire station, the other fire station?
One of the other towns?
Yeah.
About 10 miles.
Okay.
But they're the ones that rely on us to show up. So, I mean, if we call them, they might get a couple people in a truck to us to help us, but it's most of the time going the other way.
And you mentioned the area. Do you have kind of a square mile area that you cover?
I think we estimated 450 square miles.
Mr. Zanotti.
I'm sorry.
First of all, Mayor.
Whoever has taken care of your minutes, you get a gold medal. She or he gets a gold medal for that. It's beautiful, well written, explained nicely, and even highlighted for us and the staff to locate exactly what the CIB application is.
Right there.
Thank you. tell us about the recent accident or incident was in the Highway 15. That caused the nine lives. Were you part of your assignment to attend that, or was it a different town?
We had a large accident. We keep one rescue truck at the door at the ready, but the rest of the doors, we want our fire trucks first. We had a big accident. Nine people were killed. Pretty bad day, but in that, where this building may help with that is the fact that we have to move trucks to get the correct truck to do the correct job on the road. That's pretty critical. I mean, time costs lives, especially you think of fire specifically. Maybe a minute doesn't make that big a difference. It can. But when it comes to a car accident or an emergency like that, a person trapped, something like that, a minute is a lifetime.
Well, just by way of information, Mr. Chairman, I was called because of my UDOT position and because of the accident. By the time I got there, I got the Region 4 involved. They were pretty sad situation to see that just a little bit of unforeseen dust can cause that kind of life. But the film over in the surrounding area, they were there. And again, it was not even part of the assignment. There's a part to do the fire. But they were there saving lives. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Keith? Let's go with Commissioner Taylor. You're good.
That dust storm that we talked about with the accident, wasn't there a fire there just a year or two prior to that that maybe helped contribute to that dust storm taking the vegetation off?
I think it had been quite a few years there was a fire in that particular field, but most of it was drought. There's not enough water. Water all the ground to keep grass growing, so I think that was more of a problem. Dry land farm, there wasn't enough vegetation to hold it down.
Just a couple. Let's go with Mr. Stevens, and then we'll get Commissioner Austin.
Oh, excuse me. A couple of questions in row. How many full-time staff, how many volunteer staff? And then there's a question on your application.
Okay, we don't have any full-time. It's 100% volunteers. There's 24 members on the roster. We have our roster will hold 25, so we have one opening right now to take in applications and such.
Okay, and then Candace briefly alluded to it as in her introduction, and that is in your minutes, it indicates that there's a $3.75 million for the project, yet the application, I think, mentions 3.6 million. I'm just wondering what the difference was between.
I think I saw that in there. The 3.7 included the land that the city had already bought. There was 100,000 there, and then 10,000.
Yeah, so the city purchased a lot on Main Street. This existing fire station is in a residential neighborhood, and that's another reason they don't really have room to expand or adjust the existing fire station facility. So that 3.75 is generalization of the 3.74 that was on the application that included that 140,000 in kind contribution. Yeah.
So
10,000 for operations.
What happens with the old station?
That's going to turn into more storage for Fillmore City to put the rest of their equipment in, so it's not out in weather, getting weather.
So just municipal
maintenance
equipment.
Yeah. That building was built in 1977 with all donated
labor, time,
and materials. The town built that. The people in the town built it.
Well, there's certainly no question that there's a need. It is a life-saving need. For me personally, this is about the biggest fire station I've ever seen. I mean, those bays just go on for days. And it's a $3.6 million. I never thought that I would see the day when we were building a $4 million fire station, because it doesn't seem like that long ago. And it's true with everything, but, you know, we were spending $100,000 or $200,000 and getting a good fire station. Again, nowhere near the size of this, but times they are changing.
Not to interrupt, sorry. In the same county, in Delta, they spent the same amount of money and built a building a fair bit smaller because they went a little more extravagant on the, it was all cinder block, and they did a lot of stuff that we don't need the fluffy stuff. We need a place indoors to keep our equipment and have it ready to be used. There's a little bit of room for expansion, for training. We are, in our minds, we're thinking this is a firehouse that we're going to have for another 40 years. We don't know what 40 years down the road, if it's going to be a paid fire department that will have to house people. We don't know that. We have to be somewhat prepared for that. I don't think we're overbuilding anything. We try to stay pretty minimum with the steel structure for the bays, some cinder block for the office part just to dress it up a little bit. But I think we were pretty conservative, I believe. But yeah, it's amazing to think. I wouldn't think in a million years to spend $3 million on a firehouse. That thing must be the size, you know, the size of a salt house anymore. I mean, these little houses that used to cost $100,000 are $350 now. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it really is. I commend you for your frugality and trying to make it work. So along those lines, looking at the tool, again, this is a project as requested is outside of the tool range. The minimum would be a $2.6 million loan. The maximum would be a $3.3 million loan. Being Fillmore, the interest suggestions range from 1 to 2.5%. All 30 years, of course. Like you say, this is a long-term building. Good, should be good for 40 or 50 years. That's good. So at this point, if there's no further questions, we'll entertain a motion. Mr. Ogden, I'm sorry, we missed you. You did have a question.
I just have one question. Looking at your drawing here and your turnout, you've got a turnout room, but I don't see a room here for your SUVs to be charged. And then I was looking at that one front corner there. You got a truck display. Could you tell me what that's for?
That I don't remember what the square footage of that truck is. Fillmore City, we still own the very first fire truck the city ever bought. It's a 1946. Ford France fire truck. We've kept it in super good shape. It's kind of a parade truck, and And that was probably the one thing we had, we wanted in there is a place to store that. And why not have windows so people can see it? It's a super neat thing.
Just curious, we have one too, but ours is in the tucked around in the back shed, so. I was kind of wondering what that was for. Also, your engineer, I don't see a room for your SCBA room in this drawing. I know you guys probably put your SCBAs.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably what they were meaning for one of the, like that storage room or something along those lines. We've had dozens of these little drawings that we've, you know, measured out square footage and wrote on it what this, I'm guessing that storage room towards the front might be what we're thinking there.
Maybe you just got it worded wrong. You got turnout storage in that room, and then you got your turnouts. Obviously, you go in one and out the other one.
Yeah, and that might be what it is.
So that'll probably be your SCBA. Okay. All right.
Mr. Zanotti.
This is just for the clarification, over maybe some updates. If you haven't traveled recently on I-15 through Fillmore, there's a massive gas station, log gas station, building on the west side with the storage and truck storage also, and then regular gas service, and then supermarket. That's going to be also added to their responsibility to cover for those and fires in the trucks and unfortunate situations.
Does anyone like to make a motion? Or should we just send them packing?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Trishas.
I have a motion that we approve a $3 million loan, $600,000 grant, so just square out the median there and make it round numbers at the 2% interest rate, 30-year loan. So basically the median, as suggested, but rounding it to $3 million instead of the 2.988.
Thank you, Treasurer. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Mayor Baker. We have a motion for a $3 million loan, 2%, 30 years, with a $600,000 grant by Treasurer Oates, and a second by Mayor Baker.
I make a substitute.
Okay, that would be in order. Commissioner Ockin?
Okay, I would go to the median, but I want to take that down to where we've been with everybody else, about 0.05%.
0.5. 30 years.
I second that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. So we have a motion by Commissioner Ogden, looking at the median on your chart, which would be a $2,988,000 loan at a 0.5% for 30 years. With a grant amount of $612,000 is the substitute motion. Any questions on the substitute?
Yeah, one question on that substitute. On the tool range, what is that tool range supposed to be? Is it for
the rate?
On the percentage of the loan.
For the interest rate, it goes between 1% and 2.5%.
Supposed to be 2.5.
Between 1% and 2.5%.
1% and 2.5%. So if they go, so that would be below the range, which would have to have a justification.
That is an excellent point, Mayor Baker. Thank you. So we'll go to the maker of the motion, Commissioner Ogden. You have your salmon sheet in front of you.
I'd go special circumstances, I guess. That
will work just fine. The exemption would be special circumstances for the lower interest rate.
And still second that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. Any further questions on the substitute?
Can I get a clarification?
Treasurer Oates.
What are the special circumstances we're talking about?
Well, anytime by, is it rule or policy? Is it in rule, the exemptions?
The exemptions are policy.
Policy. By policy. Anytime.
Yeah, what I'm asking is what is the special circumstance?
What are the list of reasons?
What I don't understand. What the special circumstance is? Is it that Fillmore County?
Well, I guess I'm trying to be consistent.
That's all I'm trying to be. It's consistent with what we've been giving today.
Well, Chairman, just to call on that, the counties that are producers are supposed to get the lower interest rate, and those that aren't are supposed to have a little higher interest rate. That was my question with that.
Thank you.
The special circumstance listed in the exemptions is the applicant should demonstrate and provide evidence that their current abnormal circumstances warrant the suspension of usual criteria.
Commissioner Hawkins, would you mind changing it to 1% to be consistent with the rest of the...
Okay. Then no exemption is required at 1%.
I second that motion to 1% change.
The maker and the second both concur that 1% will be the proposed interest rate. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Candace, are you ready to do roll call vote?
Treasurer Oaks?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Mayor Nielsen?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously to roll call vote.
So, congratulations. This project will be placed on the priority list for final funding consideration at our February funding meeting.
Okay, appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate all.
Appreciate your time and your energy.
Thank you, Mayor.
Chief.
Commissioner.
I have a point of order.
Oh, yes.
I'd like to ask Aaron if he could rule on this. I went to check out of my room, and while I was gone, somebody took a bite out of the cookie. And I think it's Mr. Oaks. And I'd like to have him cited for taking a bite out of my cookie while I wasn't present without my permission.
Second motion.
I was just testing to make sure it was okay. So far, I'm okay. So I would say you're okay to eat the cookie. I just wanted to, I'm on above all for Commissioner Adams to be safe throughout this experience. So I took it upon myself to take the risk, if you will.
I just want to know, are you planning to go to the health clinic later this afternoon?
I might need to.
Bruce, there's other cookies.
The president
like to get a fresh.
The United States has a tester. A taster, right?
Yeah, it's the royal taster.
Yeah, I...
There's the evidence, Eric. Well, that would only be...
That was a small bite. I mean, that was a small bite.
That's right.
We left you most of it.
Terrible.
We'd like to invite the town of Connerville to come forward. Also a fire station, and Candace will brief us.
Number five on the agenda today is Town of Connerville.
Connerville.
New fire station. As I said, it's a new fire station.
Yeah.
1,437,000 in total requests. Yeah, it's half of the last one. Of which they've requested a 237,000 loan, 20-year, 2%. 2% is within the range. The loan amount is not 1,200,000 grand. They have applicant cash of $190. The median range is 1,294,000 loan, 30-year at 2.5, and 143,000 grant. This project consists of a 9,800 square foot two-story fire station, three double doors, and an extra bay for fire trucks. they recently purchased 14 acres for $140,000. I wanted them to purchase some land for me. That's a private bargain. For the purpose of the new fire station, they want to start work in April 2022. The estimate is $1,422,191, which does not include engineering or legal for bonding. That's a difference of $14,000. I'm talking to the board because there will not be enough for the issuance of bonds and engineering. Is that a included in the estimate because the request does not appear to be enough. Good public hearing minutes, but they said they don't recommend taking any home. But that's understandable because they don't know. If I was John Q. Public. But it's a fire station, and we'll let Canaraville speak to it. I guess I'll start off. My name is Betty Gold, and I am the mayor of Canaraville. And I'm here with Jared Bates, our engineer, and Tyler Allred, our chief fire officer. And just to give a little bit of history, or at least the problem, we also have an inadequate facility to meet the needs of our growing demand in the area. Not to mention our new fire truck that Tyler has to back in two or three times to get it just right so it doesn't hit anything. I get to watch this because it's right across the street from my house. The facility is also shared with the local post office and also our maintenance facility. So it's very on a quarter acre lot. So it's very inadequate for the firefighters and our equipment at this time. We are in Iron County, and Washington and Iron County are the fastest growing counties in the state, and actually probably the fastest growing state in the nation. So we've had a large influx of new housing, and we foresee greater development in the near future. We did just purchase some property for this this new fire station. It is going to be have a positive effect on the growing area. Again, I think I didn't say that Canaraville is a very small community, about 355 people who live there, and a large portion of them are retired, living on fixed income. So we really want to not incur a lot of debt for not only them, but for those who are going to be retiring pretty soon.
Thank you, Mayor. Let's go to the board for questions. Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Chairman. My compliments, Mayor Gold, for the minutes, detailed, and all the good observation. And also, delighted to see that you exercise all the options from all the surrounding communities, Washington County, Iron County, the state agencies. So thank you for doing that. But I'm not going to give the gold medal for the minutes because you're already gold. I'm going to give the silver one. But I also want to just tell the board that in case they don't know where the Canaraville is, it's right below Cedar City almost, and they cover also the Colob counties, I believe, the jurisdiction. And they get all the tourism without not much of a benefit of the anything. They just come, see the Canaraville Falls, Colob Canyons, but not much to produce to the community for any taxation. So, the Zerbin community, I just want to make sure that is reported.
Thank you, Mr. Snott. Mr. Stevens, we'll go to Mr. Stevens first.
Yeah.
Chief,
yeah.
Look at you. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to make the same comment relative to the minutes that they actually had someone there that was objecting. And took the time to, if I'm remembering the correct set of minutes, took the time to address each one of those points in the minutes, and then made a comment at the end to make sure that the city was in compliance with whatever the current the building codes and stuff were that the gentleman raised the questions of during the public hearing. So compliments for taking the time
to address that issue. And then the fire chief must not have got the memo that he was supposed to wear his uniform.
My budget's so small.
good answer.
Well played. Did you have a comment?
So just some back history. Our current fire station was built in either 85 or 87. I can't remember the exact year. It was built on CIB loans, and it is seriously a 40 by 40 two-bay building. Fast forward a couple of years, Iron County got a CIB loan, and we did an addition off of the side of it for the Iron County ambulance. And Iron County sold the ambulance. We couldn't keep the ambulance service in Canary anymore. So the bay was just sitting there, and instead of asking permission, I just cut a door into it so I could get into it with our fire truck. Our structure truck is a 1986 FMC. It is the shortest structure truck in the state that I know of. When I back it in, I have to back it in and hit the wall. I have to bump the wall so the door will be able to fit down. If that was to go down and we have to buy a new structure truck, we would not have the facilities to be able to park it inside. I took over in March of 2008, and the prior year before that, we had four page outs. Since then, and we only had about six or seven guys on our department. We've got 13 to 14 people, depending on who moves in, who moves out, you know. And when I took over, we had two fire trucks. We had a structure truck that could drive to this fire, but it couldn't pump water. We had a brush truck that couldn't drive to the fire, but it could pump water. Now we are up to five apparatuses. We've been able to purchase the structure truck. We've purchased two brush trucks. Iron County's helped us with a type four brush truck, and we have a water tender. And another brush truck being built in my backyard that we're waiting for someone's garage to open up so that we can go work on it as a department, because we don't have any room to work inside of our own fire station to build the fire trucks. I have more people wanting to join the department, but I can't let them join because we don't even have room for them to be able to put gear in a locker. This year we're up to 34 page outs. We do cover from mile marker 51, which is the Hamilton Fork Canaryville exit, that new gas station's on, the new Sinclair. And we go clear down to almost Snowfield. We don't go into Washington County all the time, but New Harmony, if they need help, they page us out. And we will go clear down into Snowfield for accidents on the freeway. Three different times in the last 2 years, we've had some serious and bad accidents right below our town on the freeway. They've been in such bad snowstorms that we were the only responding agency that could get to it because of the weather. And then this spring when we had the floods, the train that got derailed out to Lund, that took everybody from Cedar. And we were the only responding agency for a car that hydroplaned that night. And the four of us that could get there got there to help. We are built out. I'm just going off of what you guys asked the other departments. So five apparatuses, six apparatuses, three are outside, winterized. We really are in need of another one so we can just build a rescue truck because we do not have a crash truck. And I personally keep some of the stuff in my own shop behind my house because we don't have a report. So
we didn't hear that for the insurance purpose.
Yes. So, and that's where we're at, and we're really growing. I mean, we are a town of 355, and we're a small footprint compared to, like, Sigurd is a little bit bigger than us. But Iron County and Washington County is 3 to 4% growth right now, and we probably have a couple, I'd say 50 to 75 new houses being built in and around our area that we are a mutual aid department going to. And we mutual aid with Iron County, Cedar City, and New Harmony. And New Harmony is a district, but we mutual aid with them. And we do work coincide with Cedar City Fire and the Harmony Fire. We co-train with them so that we're all on the same page when we show up to the fires. And we're all doing what, you know, we all work together and know what the other, the right hand's doing with the left. So hopefully that answers all the questions you guys had.
Well, thank you for paying attention, Chief. We appreciate that.
Well, I figured it'd be easier.
Did he answer all the questions? Are we ready for a motion, or are there more questions?
Is it possible to go back and get the half of the money from Aura and give it to them?
That's why we have a funding meeting.
Oh, SCBAs, there's no place on our plans for
this. Just going to ask that question. I don't see you've got...
Because...
For your SCBAs?
Yeah, we don't have a compressor and all that. We fill our tanks in Cedar. If there is a structure fire, Cedar is an automatic response with us on a structure fire only for the town of Canaryville. And if they come, their rehab truck has an air compressor on it, and then they also have a portable air compressor trailer that they will bring so we can fill bottles in town. But if we ever get to a point that we can afford an air compressor and all that, there's a room in one back of the bay that we kind of did put a door going up on it so that we could put an air compressor in there.
Okay, that was one of my questions, and also your turnouts. I didn't see. Is there?
We just have to hang them against the wall and build it. Compared to what we have now, anything would be great.
Yeah, in compliance, I think you have to have those in a different room.
Yes. Yes.
You do. You can't have them in the same room now as your trucks.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind. But I do commend you for trying to build this out a little bit. So that's what Richfield did. We've got room above us, so if we have to eventually have full-timers, we've got that done. Anyway, that was...
So when I was a kid, I'm born and raised in Canaryville. I've never lived anywhere else. When I was a kid, our one and only fire truck sat in a corn crib barn. And if the guy had the keys to it, they could go to a fire. In 85 or 87, they built the new fire station. And it was great and wonderful, but it wasn't built for 50 years down the road. And we're hoping that this plan is at least a 40 or 50 year build out. And then if we do have to have people stay the night or weekends or go station it, we're trying to build over that too.
One thing on your notes, Iron County was supportive of the idea, but I didn't see any funding committed to that. They didn't help you with that.
They were looking into that. We're still trying to arm wrestle with them on that. But where we're our own incorporated city, they're trying. I don't know how it works, but they're trying to charge Canaryville City for the police, the sheriff's department, because we don't have our own police force. They wanted $47,000 a year for that. So when I was still on the town board, I told them, that's fine, get us your invoice, and I'll get you an invoice for our fire. Because we go to 99% of our call-outs are in your county, so let's just swap invoices. Well, they didn't like that because it didn't go anywhere. So now we supply fire support around in and around the county for them, in lieu of trade for fire police services.
Okay.
Pretty short.
Mr. Zanotti.
And I have talked to the county commissioners, Commissioner Adams, and the county commissioners in the Washington County. Mayor Gold runs a tight ship. She's a frugal lady. She's done a good job with that town. And the fact that they have really done a lot of searching for the options besides coming to CID, that impresses me. So if you're ready, I will make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
We're ready.
How about we go based on the fact that they have not much of financing, not much of income for the community, and they cover a lot of spaces, go to the minimum of category that we have, $1,150,000 for loan, 30 years at 2%, and $287,000.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
We'll give that to Commissioner Taylor on the second. Discussion points, I'll start off, and then we'll get to you, Mr. Stevens. The turnout room. If it's a requirement from fire standards, the state fire marshal, whoever it is, Jared, I think we should have a room for that in the plan. And then secondly,
Candace's question about legal bonding. There is loan here, unfortunately. You've seen that's the way we have to do it. So that we, you know, in 40 years when you come for a new station, because you're the size of Cedar City, heaven forbid, that, you know, we're still here to help you out. So I'd like to see those two things happen before the funding meeting in February. And with those, we'll go to Mr. Stevens.
Well, maybe I've answered my own question. The form sent to us in Granica said 20 years on the minimum, but I see the
minimum
readout on the sheet up there is 30 years. So.
Yeah, the tool had some typographical errors that we're correcting as we go. So keen eye, but that 30 years is appropriate. And again, I think I'll get 40 out of it. Mr. Zanotti tells me the mayor's very frugal.
It is. She is.
Other questions on the motion?
I just have one other question. Somewhere here is a two-story building?
Yes.
It would be two-story above in the framing edge section, in the office area, yeah. So we'd have more storage and
upstairs.
Just upstairs.
It'll be roughed
out. So
right?
Yeah, it's roughed out, and it's easier to put. It's cheap square footage if you just build a truss that way.
Not cheap, inexpensive.
Okay. So that's less expensive than keeping it all on one.
You can make your trusses to where you can. It doesn't cost that much more to build trusses for you. A bonus room over a garage and have in a residential house, same situation.
For your information, Treasurer, if you do the same square footage down below, you pay supposed to $200 per square feet, but if you go up or down, you go half of it per square feet. For this fence.
Depending on the value of the land.
Right.
Okay. Other questions? Seeing none, we'll call a question. Candace?
The motion was $1,294,030 a year at.
You read it the whole version.
I had.
1.15.
You read it the whole one, so this is put on the screen.
Don't eat the cookie, Bruce.
It's face. Treasurer Rhodes.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes.
Mayor Nelson.
Yes.
Mr. Stevens.
Yes.
Mr. Taylor.
Aye.
Mr. Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
Congratulations, Mayor.
Thank you.
This is put on a priority list for full funding in February. Again, with the blueprint on the takeout room and any how you're going to cover legal for bonding, please get with staff so we know before February we can make our final decision.
Thank you
all. Enjoy your afternoon.
And if the Commissioner Adams comes out with a better offer, take it.
The final project on today's agenda is the town of Rockville. They were unable to join us today because of unexpected illnesses, but we have them on the phone. So Candace will do the briefing, and then we'll muddle through, and hopefully this works out, but hopefully not too well because we much prefer to have the applicants here, and fortunately the engineers.
Yes.
Number six on the agenda today is the town of Rockville. Local Building Authority. It's for a new maintenance facility. The request is $233,000, of which there's $100,000 loan, 30-year at 0.5%, $133,000 grant. The funding tool shows a median range of $233,000 loan, 30-year at 1.5%. This project consists of purchasing a 60-by-30 steel building to be placed on a 1/3 acre of newly purchased property near the town park. It's strictly a maintenance building. It's going to include a small office, storage room, and 3 bays for storage of the town equipment. There's
They were good public hearing minutes, but apparently there were some Q&A in the public hearing minutes. I'm not sure what the purpose of those, but there were a lot of questions that were asked, including the requirement for sewer and electrical and a few of those things that they thought should be added. Number three in the minutes addresses the issues. What is the fencing to be made of? Will it screen from view the objects and materials stored on the property as required in code? The only reason that I mention that is that all the things that happen with this building should be within code. And with that, I will turn the time over to the chair of the applicant.
Thank you, Candace. Appreciate that. We have with us at the table, if you want to introduce yourself.
Sure. My name is Jared Bates. I'm the engineer on the project. Just quickly, Rockville is a small town. Currently, they don't have any sort of maintenance building for their equipment. They've got a couple of trucks that they use. Currently, they don't have a building to put their trucks in, so they're borrowing from neighbors or using volunteers to store their equipment. One thing to note, Rockville, this last year, they purchased this property to go ahead and put this maintenance building, so they put four. I think it was 28,000 dollars to purchase the property. Kind of a tough site, it's a small site, so lots of grading, lots of walls to make it work, to be able to build a flat yard, you know, to house equipment as well as put, you know, materials, road base and things like that. It's pretty basic. That was the need, so any questions?
Great. Mayor Leach, are you on the phone with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Well, welcome. Do you have anything to add to what Jared has already said?
So unfortunately, my connection with Jared was not very clear, but I'm happy to say that, as you stated, did purchase property. This property specifically for this maintenance building, and we were fortunate to get it from $28,995. Since putting in our application, we have determined that we have another $20,000 cash that we can put into this project, reducing our ask for the CID, which could reduce it down to $213,000. We have a capital project fund, in which we will have $10,000 for maintenance of this building or possible overrun of construction. Hopefully that won't happen, but with the cost of materials these days, I know that's always an issue. We have talked with Gary Zabriskie. We looked at the median funding that was provided to us by Brenda. It was our understanding that the building was, that was determined as a non-essential building, but yet our building does qualify as an essential building. We are ready to accept the 75% loan if needed and 25% grant at a 5% interest rate if that is within your
zone
approval.
We'll give you 0.5%. Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate that. Let's go to the board for questions or motions.
Mr. Chairman, I just need to make clarification. I made comments on the last project about minutes. It was this one that was actually addressed the issues of not meeting the codes and them addressing the opposition in the minute, in the meeting. And not to take anything away from the previous presenter, because their minutes were complete also, but this is the one I just wanted to clarify. I had those comments, and their minutes were, for a small entity, were pretty comprehensive and complete regarding the issue. So thank you.
Yeah, Mayor, hopefully you're able to hear that. If not, compliments to your recorder or whoever takes the minutes.
But we would like to address the concerns, particularly those expressed by Mr. Oler about being out of compliance with city code and such things. And I don't know if you'd like to handle that or you want to have Jared handle it, your choice.
Either way, we did in our meeting address those issues. The fencing, where it's needed, we're not planning on having any items outside of the building. This building should be adequate to have our equipment and our supplies. And I'm sorry, I was unable to hear all of the commissioner's questions.
So will the building be built according to city codes? Does city code require full utilities to a maintenance facility? Those types of things. We just want to make sure we're doing things right.
Right. That's what we want to do also. So we will have electrical is allowed. We will have currently our codes allowed for plumbing to the outside of accessory buildings. Question was raised as to whether this is because this is a town project, whether we can have plumbing inside. I know that's still under discussion, but if need be to meet code, we will do whatever is necessary to meet code. It is on our planning commission's agenda next week to update the zoning on this property to a PUZ to meet requirements for this being part of our public buildings. Were there other specific questions? I'm sorry.
I think that suffices. Let's go to the board and see if there's other specifics.
Thank you.
Mr. Zanotti?
Just the information sheet that the toilet rack was on the way to Zion and compared to Springdale, which is a gateway design, they get in all the opportunities of the tax bases. They have about 100 hotels now, gas stations, restaurants, coffee shops. They're really equipped with that kind of opportunity. Rockwell has only the famous bridge to Grafton, for their names. And the school that they had, Butch Cassidy and Sundance.
From the movie.
And so people go there, they don't always spend one penny in the town. And so they get all the traffic, they get all the headaches, nothing to their name. And if I remember, a few years ago, they came before CIB board and they borrowed money for the office building. They've been highest interest rate in the history of the CIB, 4.5%. And it's going to mature until 20 years from now. And one more time, they came to buy some money, borrow some money to refurbish that bridge. And they didn't accept our offer. They went up, they did a fundraising in town. They sell cookies and baked goods, and they did their own. So I kind of want to give that information to you. It's a good town, but nothing to the name.
I can quickly address some of those things. At the time, we were doing higher interest because they were offset by Build America bonds. And so that was part of it. I'm sure it was still penciled out to 2.5%, but yeah, not as bad as it seems. And some of the issues I think that Rockville addresses, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor, but Rockville chooses to be the antithesis of Springdale. Springdale embraces all of the modern growth, and Rockville chooses to stay a small rural Utah town. So these are some of the differences that you have. So you're absolutely right. They do deal with all the traffic, but they say, just keep on going. Mile up the road, you'll find everything you need.
That's just the unfortunate part. A few people that moved in, they put a moratorium, and the poor mayor that hasn't run the town, he's just burning every day without having anything in his pocket to spend. And she says the same thing to all of us, the commissioners in the county, that Springdale is getting rich and we're getting poor every day by minute.
Yeah.
So.
So, any motions from the board?
Just one other quick
question.
It sounded like the need was now 213,000. Did I hear that?
Yeah, total need would be
213. Okay.
Let me ask you a question, please.
Mayor Leach, can you afford any kind of, the way it's proposed right now, the minimum is you're going to have 100% loan to borrow in order to get your projects done. Have you talked to your city, treasurer, the county people to see if you can afford anything other than that?
Did you
hear
the question?
I'm
sorry.
She
said she could repeat that.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti was asking how much loan you're able to take. You mentioned earlier that you could do a 75% loan or a 25% loan?
Well, I know what was presented to the city as a median project was a 75% loan, 25% grant. It would be better for us if we were able to get a little bit of that grant.
$54,000 grant. The discussion on the motion, Mayor Baker.
Question on the motion. We're going below again our minimum.
Yeah, I just said refer to the pink sheet.
You have to go up to 1%.
Financial hardship.
So you choose to take the exemption of financial hardship than increase the percentage to 1%.
Is that acceptable, Mr. Chairman? Yes.
And is that acceptable to the second?
It is.
Okay, so we have an exemption. First of the day, congratulations, board, on that. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Candace, would you roll call vote?
Treasurer Oaks?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Mayor Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
So, congratulations, Mayor. Your project is placed on the priority list for full funding in February. If you have any questions, please contact our staff.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your allowing me to join you.
Good luck with the health concerns in your family.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, board. I think we had some very healthy discussion today. I very much appreciate that we got loan out on every project, and all but one were within the rule, and that was just a percentage rate. So, in my opinion, that's big, and it's difficult. What these firefighters do, they put their lives on the line to protect us and our property. Every day they're willing to do that, and as is pointed out, every single one of these is volunteers. They give all of their time and resources and sacrifice for public safety, and it's good that we can help them out, and it's good that these districts and the citizens put skin in the game. That's only appropriate. So I think we did good work here today. One thing I wanted to do before we dismiss is thank staff. The wonderful Wizard of Oz, we have Zach, Paul, Brenda, Candace, they do great work. As you all know, a tremendous effort goes into preparing these projects. You can see what you know what they're trying to deal with and get things and explain it to these applicants and these poor mayors in these rural communities. You know how it is, many of you are there or have been there. They don't have capacity, they don't have anyone to consult with. Their plates are overflowing and staff works very diligently to make these things work for them. And so we appreciate that. Also want to thank Kaylee Beck, our finance director. She brought with her Brittany Hardy today. Brittany's going to be taking over. Brittany, if you'll give us a wave, taking over kind of the finance. They'll be tag teaming a little bit to make sure everything gets done right. But welcome, Brittany. We're happy to have you with us. And thank you, Kaylee, for the great work that you and your office and your team do on the finances. Every month they get information from the tax commission and they have to figure out all of the mineral lease application stuff. It's a pretty big job. And then all of the work that fit in too. So appreciate them as well. Lunch will be in the dining room. It's a buffet lunch. Candace, did you have more information on that?
It's not chicken.
It's not chicken. That's what
we not too much chicken.
We don't hear chicken, do we, Bruce?
I also would like to extend our appreciation to your new wife, sitting over here, giving us all kinds of gestures, shouting, glad,
just like at home, she's calm.
Thank you for kind of sharing you with us.
For those of you who haven't met, my lovely wife, Debbie, she's down here with me today. Happy to have her with us.
Excellent.
And thank you for the opportunity to bring us to this beautiful part of the state so we can enjoy Albany and the scenery and see the San Juan County from here.
Yeah. Just so you know, Mr.
You just stand up, you can see San Juan County.
I'm trying to get Candace to have us down to St. George, so if you'll find a place to accommodate us.
I have plenty of places. All you have to say yes whenever.
Love to come down.
Or need to decide.
Especially this ride.
I would love to do that. If not, I'll take you to my ranch in Pine Valley, open space. Horses, we borrow a few from.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Get the horse and talk business.
Of course, if we bring the horses over from Bruce's place, we have to hear about Hole in the Rock again.
I have 20. For those of you who have the opportunity to ride, I have 20 of them. So
wow.
I have
no idea.
I'll get it from the next door. Don't worry.
That's awesome.
That is a good thing. Oh, yeah. Well, good. Thank you for your service. Again, lunch is served. It's a buffet style, so if you brought a significant other, in the past, we haven't had a problem with them joining us for that because there's the amount of food that there is, and we eat it or it goes to waste. So have your fill and safe journeys home. And one final motion, if someone would like to make it.
Well, I just want to make it clear that the cookies are fine to eat.
Everybody get in and eat lunch before he goes.
And thank you, Chris Radis, for that motion to adjourn non-contestable meeting attendance.
What I want to do is a bite out of every cookie.